Engineering News, the most widely read publication in biotechnology, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks to Dr. Carolyn Kovac from IBM Healthcare and Life Sciences about the revolution in information-based medicine.
Dr. Carolyn Kovac is General Manager of IBM's Global Healthcare and Life Science businesses. Her team develops IT solutions and services and oversees IBM investment in healthcare, pharmaceutical, and life science markets. In 2004, Dr. Kovac was named one of the 50 most powerful women in business by Fortune magazine and won the Scrip 2005 Executive of the Year Award. She holds a bachelor's degree from Oberlin College and a PhD in chemistry from the University of Southern California. Dr. Kovac, why is the convergence of life sciences, healthcare, and information technology so important at this time in the early 21st century?
Well, I think that that's a, you know, it's a terrific question, and the observation that, you know, what we're really looking at is sort of the confluence of progress in, you know, multiple streams of technology. You know, I think that as I look at what is kind of happening in the pace of development, that we truly are looking in the first decade or two of the 21st century at the opportunity to reinvent medicine and even healthcare around the world as we know it. This is not an unprecedented thing, because if you really think back to the beginning of the 20th century, in fact, you know, medicine similarly underwent a transformational period when it went from being kind of a black art to having a much deeper scientific basis, especially around infectious disease. Today, infectious disease is, for the most part, no longer, you know, the predominant killer in the developed world. But all these other chronic diseases, heart disease and cancer and stroke, and increasingly diseases like diabetes and other diseases of aging like Alzheimer's disease, et cetera, these chronic diseases are becoming, you know, the greater disease burden. And I believe that as we look at medicine, we really need to think very broadly about a transformational reinvention utilizing the new technologies that are coming out of genomics and the genomic revolution.
Now, in reading on this quote convergence, I kept seeing a term pop up, information-based medicine. Would you explain the idea of information-based medicine?
Absolutely. Actually, when we at IBM formed our life sciences group in 2000, we were very excited about the mapping of the human genome and all the other attendant projects around that, including proteomics projects, et cetera. And we were captured by the idea that medicine that would become personalized, and so this idea of personalized medicine, which, you know, people talked about in 2000, was one that we felt deeply that that the technologies would evolve to make medicine more personalized, but the term itself was so misunderstood. And so, you know, as we thought about it, we thought that the really powerful concept is not just about medicine that's personalized, but medicine that can predict incipient disease or even predict predilection to disease. So, you know, sort of really kind of look at the likelihood that one might develop disease even over a lifetime. That led us to thinking about kind of the issues in healthcare, about longitudinal healthcare records that could be kept for generations, that could be mined and data mined. And you know, as we started to think about the power in all of this stuff, it was not just about the personalization. It was also about the way that information would be used in a new way in medicine as a new kind of weapon, if you will, in both developing therapies but also deciding how to administer and deliver them to patients. And that's when we coined the term information-based medicine. A little bit self-serving given that we're an information-based company, but, you know, in fact, I think it's proven to be a very powerful idea, the idea again, that information technology is going to be one of the chief kind of strategic underpinnings of this medicine, you know, revolution in medicine.
Right. Now, let's pick up on this theme and get a little specific. How can information-based medicine improve, say, pharmaceutical drug discovery and the actual practice of medicine itself?
Well, so I think it's very clear, and in fact, you know, one of the observations that I would make just in the last, you know, 2-3 years is that although in 2000 with the first draft of the genome announcement, everyone talked about pharmacogenomics. In fact, most of the large pharmaceutical companies were, I would say, paying, if anything, you know, just paying lip service to pharmacogenomic strategies, and it was not in their mainstream of development by any stretch of the imagination. Today, I think you see that changing, and in fact, most of the major pharmaceutical companies have very serious programs that are looking at the implementation of technologies and platforms that can allow them to stratify patients and segment patients for the purpose of running clinical trials, for the purpose of doing post-launch monitoring and understanding which patient populations might be, you know, more susceptible to adverse events, using sort of pharmacogenomic strategies to understand how differential dosage needs to be thought about in the context both of a trial and also in terms of prescribing certain drugs. These are all things that the pharmaceutical industry, I think, sees as very critical to their next steps. And frankly, I think that the whole Vioxx incident from 2 years ago, in fact, you know, kind of underscores the need for better, deeper, longer-term information about how drugs are taken, by whom they're taken, and so that you can, you know, really kind of prescribe drugs in a safe way. Now, you know, where does information come into all that, and what you know, brings them to sort of think about information-based medicine? The fact is that the only way you can develop the markers that allow you to, you know, build these stratifications is by getting access in the first place to large amounts of patient data. Those data are typically highly heterogeneous in nature. It's certainly a lot of data about, you know, the phenotype of the patient, but also there may be genetic data, there might be expression data, there might be, you know, many people are thinking proteomics is going to be an exciting area for biomarker development, for diagnostics. And in fact, you know, one of the really hot topics in pharma now is the development of imaging biomarkers for surrogate endpoints, et cetera. So I think, you know, all of that is really about sort of getting access to information and then using computational methods to analyze and process, extract a suitable biomarker, and then it's that biomarker, you know, that whether it's a single type of data or kind of an integrated data set of data that constitute a more complex marker. But those markers are what then form the basis for kind of the new medicine.
I see. Now, let's even step back a little more and look at the whole, in this case, let's say the U.S. Medical system. How might information-based medicine transform the current healthcare model, which is an endless topic of debate in Washington and states with costs? Where might information-based medicine help here?
Well, you know, I think that's actually kind of the $64 billion question, more like it, is the, you know, I think there's a couple of ways that information is going to make a difference. I mean, the most obvious way is perhaps kind of a very simple and almost a no-brainer kind of issue, is every other industry has used information technology to streamline operations and to make more efficient the collection of information about a business, about, you know, about the outcome of a transaction, except healthcare. And so, you know, but every other industry, I would argue, in the developed world has, you know, found, you know, enormous efficiencies in supply chain management, in customer relationship management, in, you know, delivering products and services more efficiently and the right products and services to the right people at the right time. So I think we have, you know, a lot to gain in terms of the implementation of modern electronic records into both payer and provider systems that are going to increase efficiency and reduce waste. But the even more exciting area, I think, is the way that information can actually start to deliver better medicine to people, then the question always comes, well, how do we pay for that better medicine? Because there is a, you know, kind of widespread belief in healthcare that the reason healthcare costs so much is technology. Actually, there are a few economists now who are starting to really question that. And in fact, you know, in one reason that technology costs so much is because we apply technologies and new treatments and new therapies in this kind of uniform way, in this blockbuster model, to everyone, regardless of whether or not they'll benefit. And so the promise of this whole area of information-based medicine is that the information base can be used to say, what is the best course of treatment for an individual, based on, you know, a lot of the data that we know about them, and an evidence base that we have developed by collecting all this stuff. What is the best course of treatment? The treatment that will, you know, give them the best outcome for the lowest cost. And that's really what information-based medicine has to be about. And I think that, you know, there's a win in there for many, many of us, for certainly for us as patients, certainly for the people who pay for therapies, who are going to say, well, you know, I would rather pay more money for a cancer treatment that works and, you know, and accomplishes its purpose than for a surgical procedure later on that's going to, you know, at best kind of buy us a few more months of life. So, you know, I think we have tremendous opportunities in using information-based medicine to, in fact, deliver better medicine and medicine that will be more cost-effective.
See, now, you recently gave a keynote speech at the annual American Association for Clinical Chemistry conference entitled Computing in the Age of the Genome. Now, what were the main points of your talk, and what was the take-home message for the audience?
Well, I talked a great deal about information-based medicine, and, you know, the main points of the talk were that, you know, in fact, a lot of what we've been talking about is yet to come, but in fact that there are many proof points that exist today. And so, you know, I talked about how many of the academic medical institutions around the world, outside the U.S. in particular, governments are creating research databases, what are called biobanks, that are collections of patient samples, tissue, serum, and the information associated with those that can be used with due concern for patient privacy and de-identification of data, but that can be used for the purposes of advancing medical research. And these biobanks really kind of form the basis, the groundwork, if you will, for how a set of really valuable biomarkers can be developed. You know, I talked about the development of biomarkers and, you know, a little bit about the kind of variation in terms of the way those can be developed. I think we have still yet to determine what kind of biomarker is the most valuable, and I honestly believe that we're going to see different uses of different kinds of markers for different purposes. Some feel that proteomic markers will perhaps be the best markers for a new form of diagnostics, looking at, you know, very, very low amounts of protein in serum. Others are saying that there's a tremendous focus on imaging to develop biomarkers in the pharmaceutical development process to look for imaging methods that can much more quickly assess whether or not a drug is, first of all, getting to the right place, and second of all, doing the, you know, having an impact. And in cancer, for example, you know, imaging biomarkers are being used to shorten the demonstration of efficacy from, you know, what might be months or even years down to, you know, days or weeks. That won't replace the longer term clinical trials that look at long-term survival rates, but you know they have a you know can have a huge impact on selecting better candidates and you know and eliminating candidates that show sort of inability to even get to the target. So you know I think I talked about a lot of those areas, and you know I think that this is a group clinical chemistry that is really, first of all, the group that's going to make a lot of the change happen. So it was an exciting opportunity.
See, now my final question is, how does IBM fit into all these emerging areas of information-based medicine, targeted treatment solutions, and computing in the genomic age?
So IBM is an information technology company. We're not a life sciences company. And I think that we can do best what we do best in the life sciences, which is really about developing an infrastructure that can support, an information infrastructure, if you will, that can support a lot of the discovery and the, you know, algorithmic work that has to go on top of it. At IBM, we have really believed that our mission is to, in fact, work on work within the industry on standards, to facilitate people building data repositories and large data repositories. We've worked with many institutions and organizations to enable the building of biobanks, information biobanks, and sample biobanks. These include places like the Mayo Clinic, UC San Francisco, the Cleveland Clinic, with an organization started by Michael Milken called Faster Cures that is a portal for biobanks, with the Multiple Myeloma Foundation and many others. And so, you know, I think that our view is that we can deliver world-class data management. We can deliver privacy and security solutions that suitably protect an individual's rights to privacy. We can deliver to the pharmaceutical world data management and information management, both for discovery environments but also for clinical development in a compliant fashion and that allows a really flexible workflow. And so I think that's the way, you know, we would like to be seen as, you know, really developing an infrastructure. And then I guess finally, as healthcare moves into the information age, slowly, but I think surely over the next 5 years, I think that, you know, IBM can provide, you know, a tremendous driving force for the adoption of electronic medical records and standards that allow for the interoperability of those records. And, you know, if we could accomplish all that, the world would be a very, very different place.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, be sure to visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next Thursday.